Blog Talk Radio.
Expressing his commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly V. LLC.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I've never heard of
this. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
Republican, atheist or believer, rich or poor, yes, people, all the people make this world go round. Welcome, everybody. It's not one thing, it's another. Anyway, we move forward. Thank you, stylists, and thank all of you for tuning in once again to the gold standard of urban news talk radio. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for sparing me and all of you. To have another opportunity to see another Thursday. It's October 22nd, 2020. The weather is still holding up. It's a couple, maybe 10, 15 degrees above normal, so maybe that's a global warming. I don't know. But anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. And thank you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for sparing me and all of you to have another opportunity, like I said, to see another Thursday, October 22nd, 2020, despite the raging coronavirus that has claimed the lives of 220,000 and counting people. The Lord has seen fit that we remain here on this earth to fulfill whatever his purpose is for us. Thank you once again, all of you, for tuning into my show every week. I really appreciate it. You know, the ground game for the Ron Kelly Show is on and popping as we try to grow the audience by localizing the footprint and introducing the show to new listeners. So I'm sending a big special shout out to my new audience down in Plainfield, New Jersey, the surrounding area, and all the folks down there. To my dude, Jaime, what's up, my brother? Love you, man, for tuning in as well, and all of my established audience all across the country for your loyalty to the Ron Kelly Show. All right, so tonight is the second of the last three scheduled presidential debates that's on and popping tonight, right after my show, actually. And this one should draw an even bigger audience than the 73 million Let me move back away from this camera. There's 73 million viewers who tuned into the first Jerry Springer segment disguised as a debate. Now, the Commission on Presidential Debates has added a new wrinkle to this last debate. There will be a mute button this time to prevent the constant interruptions, mostly by Donald Trump. that took place the last time. So when one candidate is speaking, their microphone, the other candidate's microphone will be muted. So neither one of them will be able to interrupt each other. I'll be watching because I'm very interested to know how this is going to work out, see if Trump is going to behave himself. The smart money is that he won't. But anyway, I'll have a full analysis next week right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Maybe I'll do a pop-up. Maybe I'll do a pop-up video on what I thought in the next couple coming days. All right, a little bit later on in the program, I'll talk about Russia and Iran's hacking into the election infrastructure of this country and the threat it poses if either one of them can actually delete votes or change the actual outcome of the race. Also, a little bit later on in the program, there has been digging going on in the area of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was called Black Wall Street. I'm going to dig into that, too. And I wonder why. Why are they doing it? And if they find out who the descendants are, what are they going to do? So we'll look into that as well. So shout out to everybody who's watching the program. Jonathan Narcisse, I think. Linda Lombroso. Hey, boo, how you doing? Ronald McCready. Melande Carter, I know you. And everybody else who's watching and listening to the Ron Kelly Show all across the fruited plain of the not-so-United States of America. So let me start with this. Everybody's hair is on fire because the Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, had the third-degree murder charge dropped against him by a judge. Now, everybody, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes because he's still facing the greater charge of second-degree murder. Now, many of y'all didn't even read the whole article. You just zoomed over to Facebook. Shout out to Rosalind Christie. Shout out to Dave Ullman, also who's watching the program. So a lot of y'all didn't even read the whole article, and you zoomed over to Facebook to tell everybody how upset you were about it. And a lot of y'all didn't even read the article. And, you read the first few sentences and boom, oh, I'm pissed, I'm this, I'm that. You got to pump your brakes, read the whole article. He's still facing second-degree murder charge, which is a lot worse than the third-degree murder charges. Now, my thinking is that they dropped the third-degree murder charge because they do have a shot. Shout out to David Taban, Mixmaster David Taban. How you doing, my brother? I don't know if I said that right. Dave Taban is the genius Mixmaster. I'll tell you more about him a little later on in the program. But now, okay, so everybody just chill out. There's going to be a trial, and he's going to be found guilty. And just because they dropped a third-degree murder charge does not mean that he's not going to go to prison, because he is. Shout out to the trio of folks who I had on the show last week. I know y'all was like, what's going on here? And I didn't rant and rave like I normally do, but shout out to them who were on the program last week. And I wish them well in the upcoming election. So, so there's a lot of, there's so much fake news going on right now, everybody. We have to be careful of what we read and what we repost. Now, it's been proven. I mean, the news reports are saying that Russia and Iran are interrupting, or shout out to LaToya Ferguson who's watching the program. Russia and Iran have been fiddling around, and what they're saying is that they have actually infiltrated our election infrastructure, and they have gotten into state and county election rolls. And so this is something that we have to be watching for. This is something we have to be careful of, because there's a, we need, right now, a lot of people don't even, they've been successful thus far because a lot of people don't even believe in the integrity of the election system of the United States of America. So you have to be careful with what you post and what you retweet or repost or whatever the case may be. So let me start with this. I'm so hyped up of like, I'm trying to calm my own self down. So tonight we're going to have the debate. I'm sure, hopefully everybody will be watching. There's going to be a lot more people than the 73 million folks who watched the first one. It's probably going to be like upwards of 100 million people, because this election is so consequential. And I'm telling you, we can't have another 4 years of Trump. We just can't, because you see him, he's so unhinged. He's like a crackhead running around saying all kinds of ridiculous things. He's attacking his own cabinet. And I thought about it earlier today. I said that there's only two black people that Trump has hired so far. The attorney, the surgeon general, which is a job that nobody even really cares about, and also the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Like, who cares? So Trump has not put any black people in any authoritative positions in his cabinet. So I just don't understand why black people, there are some black folks who are actually advocating for Trump and saying, you know, he's done more for black people than Abraham Lincoln. You can always find a black person. I mean, you can always, and it's unfortunate, you know, and I'm uncomfortable even saying it, but you can always find a black person to turn their back on their own people. You can always find one. It's just unbelievable. And I don't understand why black folks are advocating for Trump, you know, like this Diamond and Silk, these two people. But I don't really think that Diamond and Silk actually are advocating for Trump. They're just trying to make some money, which they're doing pretty good, because they got dropped by Fox News, and now they're on Newsmax, I think. So that's what's going on with them. So, you know, I covered Derek Chauvin. I mean, he's going to be convicted. He's going to jail, so everybody's just going to be raped. Now, Black Wall Street. Now, there is there's some digging going on in the area of Black Wall Street. Now, Black Wall Street was a section of Tulsa where prominent black folks, it was all black section, all black people doing business with each other, very prominent area, which was ran over by white folks May 31st and June 1st, 99 years ago. Mobs of white residents, most of them deputized and given weapons by city officials, attacked black residents and businesses and just burnt the whole thing down. And so now what's going on is that they're doing some digging there, and some remains have been found of human remains have been found in that search for victims of Black Wall Street. They say so far one set of human remains and a second have been found in the Tulsa cemetery, where investigators are searching for victims of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. Now, you know, and I never could understand why we couldn't reproduce that, especially now where things are a lot better than they were. Some of y'all may disagree with me, but things are a lot better now than they were back then, when these black folks, prominent black folks, it was like a 30 block section of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where black folks did business with each other, they did commerce with each other, they shopped at each other's stores, and white folks didn't like that, so they came in and they burned everything down and they killed about 300 black people. This is what took place. Now, the mayor of Tulsa has budgeted $100,000 to fund the excavation, and remains of two people so far have been found. But my question is, now, what are they going to do? What is the whole idea behind this? Are they going to try to figure out who the people are? Are they going to compensate the descendants of these people? I don't understand what this is about. Shout out to Bunny McKnight, who's watching the show. And Dave Ullman says, Omarosa. Yeah, well, Omarosa was nothing. Going back to Trump's black non-appointees, because he hasn't had any black people. And, you know, his cabinet has turned over a couple of times, and he hasn't even thought about putting any black people in positions of power. Because, you know, housing and urban development is nothing, and the Surgeon General is something that nobody pays attention to anyway. And those are the only two black people on his in his cabinet. Shout out to Robert Cooper, who's watching the program. So yeah, so they're doing an excavation in the area of Tulsa, which was called Black Wall Street. And again, I just don't understand why we couldn't do this again, because I've been saying it ad nauseum over and over and over and over again. Because if you travel through certain towns, you see areas of towns where different ethnic groups are the you know, like in Jersey City, for example, where I'm from, there's a section of Newark Avenue going, it's about four, maybe three or four blocks long, where there's only Indian businesses, only Indian businesses. And the Indians shop in that area. You know, Hispanics, Asians, all of these different ethnic groups do business with each other except for us. We kick each other's back and we talk about each other, always to expense it all. And I am one who have said certain things about black businesses myself. So I'm you know, I'm guilty of it myself. But I just don't understand why, you know, why we cannot do business with each other like other ethnic groups do. Now they're saying that a mass grave has been found. I'm just reading just kind of today. A mass grave has been found, and 10 bodies were discovered amid excavations in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that could be connected to the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, which I do believe that, you know. So what happens is they, after they kill everybody, they dug a hole and they threw all the bodies in the after the Tulsa race massacre, where the whole section of town where black folks did business with each other were killed, and they were dumped in mass graves. So I'm not sure what's going on with that, but we'll dig into it. So the election is a couple of weeks away, and you know, there's a lot going on. That's, again, you know, I can't say it enough that we have to be careful with the stuff we read and the stuff that we the things that we read and the things that we post on our Facebook pages, because a lot of us, you know, the other stuff most people don't even care about. I mean, between putting pictures of food and stuff like that on Facebook, some people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of posting for attention. There's a lot of posting for likes going on Facebook. And we have to be careful of the stuff we read, the stuff we repost, because there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of stories that are being told, things that just don't make any sense at all. But people are posting and reposting this stuff. So we have to be very careful of what we do on Facebook. All right, it's about 19 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We'll take a really quick break. And we'll come back with more of the program. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
All right, then. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on BlogTalkRadio.com, TheRonKellyShow.com. So let me start with this. So, another juror, this is Breonna Taylor case. I don't know if any of you have been following this, but a second juror has come out of the Breonna Taylor grand jury situation, who's going to be allowed to talk. You see, now, you know, when the case was presented to the grand jury by Kentucky Attorney General David Cameron, a black man, who happens to be friends with Mitch McConnell, and he's a friend of the Republicans. You can always find one of us. You can always find one of us. Nobody turns on themselves like we do. You can always find one of us, and I mean that. Now, the grand juror. Now, when the grand jury was dismissed, Kentucky Attorney General David Cameron came out and said that the only charge that the grand jurors wanted to push forward was a reckless endangerment charge against the against one of the police officers, Detective Hankinson, who was fired by the Louisville Metro Police Department. Now, what this person says is the grand jury was only allowed to consider the three wanted endangerment charges against Detective Hankinson. No opportunity, they were not given an opportunity to consider anything else. You see, now this is just, you know, and we all knew, I mean, you know, when I first heard about it, I knew that there was something smelling here. And the first juror who wanted the grand jury record his release said that the jury could only consider wanted endangerment charges in the case and no other charges for the three officers who participated in the raid that killed Breonna Taylor on March 13th were allowed to even consider murder charges. So Jefferson Circuit Court Judge Annie O'Connell granted the release request, saying that the Louisville Attorney General David Cameron had already revealed much of what happened in the grand jury proceedings and that another judge had ordered the release of the recordings in the Detective Brett Hankinson's case. So grand jury transcripts and grand jury proceedings are usually kept secret. But this time, because of the importance of what's going on, the judge decided to grant the motion for the grand jury proceedings to be released. And now this is the second juror. Now the first juror has already said that they were, when they asked about murder charges, they were told by this attorney general, this brother allegedly, that there would be they wouldn't be able to press murder charges against the three officers. And I had a little piece. I think I got a little piece here somewhere about what. One of the officers says, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, he was interviewed by, of all people, Michael Strahan. Wow. Giants in Philly tonight, by the way. And let me just play a little piece of what he had to say about what happened that night.
And what do you say to that? Maybe he didn't. But there are also 11 neighbors who said the same thing that he said. Those 11 neighbors also said we did not. Kent Walker says we not. The other witness says we not. So if you didn't hear us knock, you're not going to hear us now. Mattingly says once the team enters the dark apartment, he sees two figures in the hallway. How far away from you? About 20, 25 feet? Probably, yeah, 20, 25 feet. And as soon as I turned the corner, my eyes went straight to the barrel of this gun. I could see the tip of it. And my eyes just focused in on it. Breonna's boyfriend, 27-year-old Kenneth Walker, a legal gun owner, fired a shot. Later telling investigators he fired because he didn't know who was bursting through the door. An FBI ballistics report saying it was Walker's bullet that struck Mattingly.
See, now, this is like just so, you know, this is like just so unbelievable because you had 11 people who said that they didn't hear a shot. You had you had 11 people who said they didn't hear the police announce themselves. You had one person who said that who at first said they didn't, and then I guess, you know, under duress or pressure from the Louisville Metro Police Department, the person flipped the script, and then they finally came out and said that they did hear the police announce themselves. So they dismissed the 11 people, just kicked the 11 people to the curb who said they didn't hear anything, and they're taking the word of one person. So everybody knows that the fix was in from the very beginning. On March 13th, the night, just after midnight, March 13th, 2020, this year, everybody knew that the fix was in. And this brother, alleged brother, undercover brother, I guess you can call him, you know, he presented a case. See, because he didn't present murder charges. He only presented what he wanted to present. He only presented what he wanted the grand jury to eventually conclude that wanted endangerment charges against Detective Brett Hankinson. He was the only one that was charged out of all the officers who were there. Brett Hankinson was the only one that was charged. So Kentucky Attorney General David Cameron, remember that name, David Cameron, he presented what he wanted to present. So the fix was already in. So why would the Kentucky Attorney General himself, why would he present the case? You know, in grand jury proceedings, like they say, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but they say that, you know, it's so easy for a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. That's the going saying that they say about grand juries. And if David Cameron would have presented the case in the right way and gave the grand jury all the options that they had, they could have been, you know, they would have been a murder charge. But because he presented what he wanted to present, and because he wanted to protect those officers, he conducted the case the way he did. So we're going to find out. We are going to find out what really happened in that grand jury room, because let me put it like this. David Cameron, most everybody knows the grand jury transcripts are sealed. They're kept secret. So nobody ever finds out what happens in the grand jury room. And David Cameron was banking on that. He was banking on, shout out to Mario Thornton, who's watching the program, and Craven T. Coughlin was watching the program as well. David Cameron was banking on the fact that no matter what he said in that grand jury room, that nobody would ever find out. He was banking on that. And, you know, as it turns out, the judge agreed, and the judge agreed to have the grand jury transcripts released. And also, on top of that, the grand jurors are going to be able to speak, because the grand jurors ordinarily are not able to speak once they come out of the grand jury room. But this time it was. So we're going to find out, you know, what actually happened. Just the fix was in from the very beginning. I mean, you got 12 witnesses, 11 say one thing, one says something else. So instead of believing the 11, you're going to believe the one. It's just completely unbelievable that this even happened. But this is today's America, where, again, you can always find one of us. I know I've said it about 8 times, but you can always find one of us who's going to turn, you know, on the rest of us. So we'll find out in the upcoming days what was actually said. But we already know, you know, for the most part, we didn't dot every I and cross every T, but we do know that Kentucky Attorney General David Cameron, a black man, allegedly presented the case in a way where the cops would get off. That much we do know. So we'll find out exactly what was said. And see, I watched the news conference when David Cameron came out after the grand jury proceedings was over. I watched the news conference, and he put it all on the jurors. He didn't take any responsibility. He put it all on the jurors. But now it's coming out that it's all on him. So we'll find out. We will definitely find out exactly what was said. But we already know that in the Breonna Taylor case, that David Cameron presented the case in the wrong way, you know. So we got to, you know, and I said this like a couple of weeks ago that, you know, I mean, yeah, you want to forgive people and all of that. We got to stop forgiving. We got to stop forgiving. You know, you remember the case of Amber Geiger, the Texas cop who shot the brother, Botham Jean, who was in his house. Now, I remember one time where I went to the wrong door. Since I've been living in my building for the last going on 11 years, I remember one time I went to the wrong door. I was upstairs on the roof, and I used to have DirecTV. And, you know, back in the day, DirecTV, a couple of years ago, when it snowed, if it snowed on that dish, you know, your TV, you know, transmission was gone. So I remember one time I went up to the roof and I cleaned off the dish. I don't have DirecTV anymore. But I went upstairs one day to clean off the dish. And when I came back downstairs, instead of going to the second floor, I went to the third floor. That was one time. And there was no way I could have gotten to the apartment anyway because the key didn't work. So, you know, this thing with her, where the brother of Botham Jean hugged her after the case was over, she got a slap on the wrist, 10 years. She'll probably do 2 or 3 and she'll be out. And she may even get hired by another police department. And he hugged her, and then you see the shot of the court officer, the bailiff, the sheriff's deputy, who appeared to be fixing her hair. I mean, we gotta, you know, white people, when you do something to a white family, and let's say you get the death sentence, them white, though, they are in that death, they are there, they are watching you die, and they are not going to try to forgive you. But we need to stop with this forgiveness stuff. I forgive you. No, I don't forgive you. No, hell no, I don't forgive you. You know, and it just gave me a headache watching Botham Jean's brother hug Amber Geiger after she killed his brother. I mean, and then again, the sheriff's deputy seemed like she was brushing her hair. And what the sheriff's deputy said was that she was trying to make sure she didn't have any weapons in her hair. I mean, where did she go? She didn't even go anywhere. So I'm like, come on, we you know, I mean, I'm a man of God, and you know, for the most part, and you know, I believe in forgiveness and stuff like that. But we gotta stop being so quick to forgive people. Speaking of God, you know, we were supposed to. I'm kind of disappointed that my church did not. We're not going to reopen. The church was supposed to reopen this Sunday, and because of the spike in the coronavirus infections in the state of New Jersey that's going on right now, they decided to put it off. So I was really looking forward to going to church, back to church this Sunday. But you know, the pastor David Ireland, you know, out of an abundance of caution, decided not to reopen the church this Sunday. Christ Church, y'all, some of y'all know about it. Anyway, it's 26 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show, .com. So, yeah, so we got a lot going on. I mean, this election, and it seems, you know, and I know a lot of y'all, even myself sometimes, it looks like the world is just spiraling out of control with the coronavirus and people out of work and, you know, and this election, and there's just so much going on right now. Our whole way of life has been snatched away from us. And, you know, and it seems like everything is out of control, but God has his hand on all of this. So I think that we're going to be all right in the end, at the end of the day. So, yeah, so there's a big concern now. I understand that there have been some emails, and some of y'all might get them, emails that are allegedly from the Proud Boys. Now, the Proud Boys, you know about the Proud Boys when Trump said, stand down, stand by. I mean, if that wasn't an indicator, I don't know. If that don't make you go vote, I don't know what's going to get you to the polling place. But there are emails that are being sent to people in Florida, because Florida is a crucial state for Trump. And Trump won Florida going against Hillary Clinton. But this time it's a different story. So I understand that there have been emails, threatening emails being sent to Democrats, threatening them to vote for Trump. And the emails are saying, like, we know where you live. We have your information. We know where you live. I'm like, come on. Are you serious? And this is what's going on right now. So, and they're saying that the emails are coming from Russia. You know, the emails are coming from Russia. So you might get an email. They probably won't send emails to New Jersey because they know Trump has no chance. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, he has no chance of winning either one of these states. So we probably won't get any of those emails. But emails have been sent to people in Florida. To threatening emails have been sent to people in Florida to warn them about voting for Biden. So this thing is really crazy. And then and a man was in Virginia, I believe it was arrested for threatening to. What happened was he saw a lawn sign. You know, lawn sign, you stick in the ground. He saw a lawn sign, Biden Harris lawn sign, and he left a threatening note to the person who. Owned the house, and I guess he didn't know who he was. So these are very perilous times right now. After the break, I'll get into the Proud Boys and some of the other groups that are planning to, and I don't want to scare anybody, the Proud Boys and some groups who are not going to accept a Trump loss. They're just like, no, we're not going for it. you know, and these people are making veiled threats of what they might do if Trump loses. So I'll take one more quick break, everybody. So don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. Shout out to my, before I go though, shout out to my people to watch the Ron Kelly Show on YouTube. You know, my true YouTube channel. I just finally got it up and running recently. So all y'all who support the Ron Kelly Show, go on over there and subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel. As a matter of fact, I'm on it right now. The show is streaming live on YouTube. So do, those of you who do support me, go on over to the YouTube channel, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel, and subscribe to the program. I see a couple of y'all already did, so I appreciate that. And the thousands of folks who follow the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook and other places. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Take a little shortbread, touchy nut bar. How many treats? Make a doodle shortbread, touchy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
That's right. Do not. Get it twisted, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining me. Shout out to Jackie Workman, Jocelyn Castro, and Eric Andrews, I believe, who were on the program last week. I interviewed them, three folks who are running for playing for Board of Education. I don't endorse anybody that. I don't get it. Just because people come on the show don't mean that I endorse them. As a policy of the Ron Kelly Show, I really rarely endorse anybody, especially in the local races. But at a good time, Jackie Workman, Jocelyn Castro, and Eric Andrews, appreciate their indulgence. They were on the program last week. And I got a hard lesson in Zoom last week from, I don't even want to talk about it. But anyway, shout out to them, Jackie Workman, Jocelyn Castro, and Eric Andrews, who are running for the Board of Education in the city of Plainfield, New Jersey. So, they are trying to get the school system back together. And we talked about that, how, you know, with the COVID and all. And I understand they caught two ladies in Patterson stealing laptops. I mean, iPads or whatever. Oh, my goodness. I mean, really? Who stole laptops. Stole laptops. All right, shout out to Lamont Gates, who says threatening emails have been stated to be from Iran, not the Proud Boys. It's an international. Yeah, exactly, Lamont. Yeah, I believe I did say that. Shout out to Lamont Gates, Real Spiritual Talk on Spreaker, I think he is. I'm not sure. Shout out to Sherry Walton. Shout out to Debbie Taylor, who's watching the program as well. Lamont Gates, Yeah, and I get that, Lamont Gates, and yeah, they are saying that those threatening emails are coming from Iran. See, there's a lot of interference going on right now. There's a lot of interference going on through our election system right now. It's crazy. So yeah, again, for the 50,000th time, you have to be careful of what you read and what you tweet and what you post on Facebook, because Facebook is even giving me grief because I talk about politics, social justice issues. So they definitely giving me, they've been giving me a lot of grief lately because my show, because Facebook, in the last 30 days before the election, Facebook is putting a clamp down on people who do political justice, social, political, social justice talk radio. They are really putting the clamps down on it. And they're doing it to me too. So my show is not going out to as many people as it used to because of that. But it's okay. You know, thank you all for those of folks who are there. You know, Trump decided he was going to stop the census early because they didn't want to count. I mean, you know, because Americans, we do things at the last minute. And I, too, waited till the last minute to do the census. But you, and I wasn't really focusing on it, I must admit. And I did tell people they need to, you know, but I really wasn't focused on the census that hard. But when I saw that Trump was cutting the census early, now why would you cut the census early? Why would you not want to know how many people who are living in the United States of America? But the idea was that a lot of the minorities, you know, wouldn't be counted. That was the whole thing in a nutshell. The minorities wouldn't be counted. So, but when I saw that Trump was trying to, one of many things, and I'll talk about it in just a second, when I saw that they were trying to end the census early, and the Supreme Court did allow them to end the census early, I just never understand that one. But the Supreme Court did rule that Trump could end the census early. But I said, you know what, it spurred me on to participate in the census. So once I heard that, you know, it lit a fire under me, and I went to the government website for the census, and I put my information in there, and I wanted to be counted. So, you know, right now, with all this going on, I mean, who's calling me when I'm on the radio? The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who's a Republican, has pushed legislation to stop protesters, people who protested, Black Lives Matter folks, people who protested. They're trying to stop protesters, take away the voting privileges of protesters. I mean, you know, in one state, in Texas, I believe it was, who has a Republican governor as well, they wanted to have one poll in place. Now, Texas is the biggest state in America, and they wanted to have one polling place. Can you imagine the chaos that would ensue if we only had one, if they only had one polling place in Texas, which is, California, I think is the biggest, but Texas has got to be a close second. Biggest state in the country, and they were trying to have one one voting place. I mean, just absolutely unbelievable. You know, the mail system, you heard when Trump put his homeboy as Postmaster General of the United States of America, the Postal Service has been going on since the days of the Pony Express, where they used to put mail in a bag. They used to put mail in a sack, and somebody would ride from one town to another, one state to another, delivering the mail. That's how long the Pony Express and the Postal Service has been in business. Trump put one of his people in there. See, because Trump uses henchmen. He won't put his own, sometimes he does, but a lot of times he'll put his own people in there, then he'll tell his people what to do. And thank you to Donnie Wilson, who one of the listeners of the Ron Kelly Show, reminded me that with the Postal Service, you see what happened with that. They took the machines out. The machines, they count 30, 40,000 pieces of mail a minute. They took the machines out. Why would you take the machines out? There are things going on right now, driven by the Republicans, who are trying to interrupt the mail system. They're trying to put up their own ballot boxes. So you know what's going to happen if the Republicans put their own ballot boxes up there. They're going to go through the ballots. They're going to throw away the Biden ballots, and they're going to put forth the Trump ballot. So there's very important. There's a lot of stuff going on in America right now. Lots of voter suppression nonsense going on. So it's very important, everybody. I mean, this is one time where we can't just say, oh, well, my vote doesn't count. I'm only one person. Because I know a lot of us gone that voter apathy. I've done it, you know, but not this year. Not this year. I voted last year. I voted for Hillary Clinton for all the good it did because she lost. But and she got help from Comey and some of the other people that were, you know. But I voted last year for Hillary Clinton, and I'm going to vote this year. And, you know, and everybody, it's your duty. I mean, do you really want another 4 years of Trump? I mean, do we really want another 4 years of Trump? Do you really? Because you see how what he did with the Supreme Court, the Amy Coney Comey Barrett, they shoved her through and a couple of weeks before the election. Now, some of you remember 4 years ago when Barack Obama, in February, Barack Obama had about 10, it was his last year in office, and he had about 10 months left. Barack Obama had 10 months left of being the president. And I think it was Antonin Scalia had passed away, one of the associate justices. So Barack Obama, with 10 months left, decided that he was going to put forth a Supreme Court nominee by the name of Merrick Garland. So Merrick Garland was Barack Obama's choice for to replace Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia had passed away. Supreme Court appointments are for a lifetime, which I think is unbelievable. But so Barack Obama put forth Merrick Garland as his choice, his nominee for the Supreme Court. And the same Republicans, the same ones, Mitch McConnell, Graham, the same people who said that the American people should have an opportunity to pick, should have an opportunity to elect a president and then have the new president put forth a nominee. These same people, Lindsey Graham's lion sack of, you know what, he was one of the main ones that said that a Supreme Court nominee should not be a vote for a Supreme Court nominee should not go to the Senate in the last year of a presidency. These are the same people, the same ones, lying. Oh man, just burns me up. The same ones who said that a Supreme Court nominee should not be presented to the Senate until not in the last year of a president's term. And now here we go, fast forward to 2020, and these same people, the same ones, have flipped the script because Trump has scared the life out of everybody because one tweet can kill you. And so the same people who said that a Supreme Court nominee should not be presented in the last year of a president's term are now shoving Amy Coney Barrett through with a couple of weeks left. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Trump wants Amy Coney Barrett. He wants a majority, a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Why? Because remember in 2000 when George Bush, and I can't think of his name right now, who was vice president under Clinton, were locked in the battle where there was only maybe a couple hundred thousand votes between them, or separated Bush from Al Gore. And the Supreme Court wound up having to intervene and declare George Bush the winner. That's what happened in 20 years ago. That's what happened. George Bush was declared the winner by the Supreme Court. Now, Donald Trump is thinking along those same lines that maybe there will be a contested election. That's why he's sown the seed of doubt into the minds of the electorate, because that's his part of his game plan. If it's a contested election, he wants the deck to be stacked in his favor, so that if the Supreme Court has to declare a winner, they'll declare him the winner. That's why he pushed, and in the Senate as well, that's why they pushed for Amy Coney Barrett to be the nominee, because they feel like, okay, if something should happen, if it's not clear who the winner is, that they will hope that more than likely the Supreme Court will have to intervene and declare somebody the winner. That's what Trump is hanging his hat on. So that's why they're trying to push this person through, because of what happened 20 years ago with George W. Bush and Al Gore. All right, everybody, it's about 8 minutes before 8 o'clock. Everybody, thank you so much for joining me and the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, the YouTube channel. The Ron Kelly Show archive can be found at blogtalkradio.com/ the Ron Kelly Show. And shout out to the people at KCAA Radio on the West Coast. I've been negotiating with them, and the Ron Kelly Show hopefully will land in Southern California. I always wanted to live out there, by the way. I don't have to go. I mean, the show will air KCAA 105.9. There's three stations the KCAA controls. So we're talking with them, and so maybe the Ron Kelly Show will wind up on KCAA Radio in Loma Linda, Southern California. So yeah, so we got a lot going on, and with Trump, with this, you know, sowing the seeds of doubt into the election. Now, there are people out there, these militia people. Now, don't get it twisted. Now, as Lamont Gates said, that it's not the Proud Boys. Yeah, I know it's not the Proud Boys. It was Iran. But all the pot is being stirred, the pot of doubt, the pot of hate, the pot of anger, the pot of resentment is being stirred in the United States of America right now. Not just from Russia and Iran, but from Donald Trump himself. You know, Proud Boys, stand by, stand back, stand by. Stand by, I mean, that means that, you know, just wait. If I don't win, then you can go in. And there are militias. Everybody, we need to be very careful in the next month or two, because there are militias. There are people who are not going to accept the Trump loss. And I've seen the video. I've played some of the sound from the video anyway, of militia members who just are not going to accept a Trump loss, especially now with the mail-in voting and the absentee voting and stuff like that. There are people who are just not going to accept a Trump loss. Now, as far as what they're going to do, will it be a violent response? We don't really know that yet. But the way these people are talking, they haven't said what they're going to do specifically, but the way these people are talking, they're talking like there's going to be a little dust up, you know, and with the election. So police departments around the country, even here in the New York metropolitan area, are gearing up. Nobody's going on vacation. Nobody's getting any days off. The police departments all around the country are gearing up to protect polling places, because people in states, Michigan and some of the other places where you can carry rifles and shotguns and ARs, those are the people who are going to be showing up at the voting booths. Those are the people that are going to be showing up at the voting booths. Now, the PBA in New Jersey, for example, probably the biggest police union in the state of New Jersey, has endorsed Trump. You see, so, you know, now, what does that say? It says that, you know, are they going to be able to be neutral, because these police officers, these PBA members, are going to be the ones who are going to be guarding polling places when come time for the election. They're going to be guarding the polling places. So can we count on them to be neutral, even though they are supporting Trump? Can we count on them to be neutral when the election, you know, starts, you know, when November 3rd or whenever, because different states have different days that they start the early voting. And speaking of the early voting, 40 million people have voted already. 40 million people. Now, at this time in 2016, there might have been 40,000 people who voted early. So 40 million people have voted already. The Democrats are outnumbering the Republicans, some in some cases 2-1. where the Democrats are outnumbering the Republicans. But don't get complacent. We got to vote like your life depends on it. That's that, and it does. And it does, because we can't afford to have another 4 years of Trump. We can't, because the man is just unhinged. He's not living in reality. Now, I think that Trump is suffering from a form of dementia. You know, I mean, 74 years old, and not everybody that age gets dementia, but I think that Trump is suffering from some kind of episode, some kind of mental health episode, because the things he's doing and the things he's saying, you know, the post office, you know, removing and talking about Paterson, New Jersey, which is a couple miles away from where I'm at right now. And he even talked about Paterson, New Jersey, the third ward election that was not canceled, but the results were thrown out by the judge, Capistella, and Passaic County Superior Court, because there was some hanky-panky going on with the absolutely. Lynn Brazo says agreed. He's checked out. Yes, he has. And Trump is even talking about Paterson, little old Paterson, New Jersey, 150,000 people, you know, which hardly nobody votes in Paterson. 100-some thousand people, 100,000 registered voters, and you get maybe 18,000 people who vote in the mayoral election, which I think is just unbelievable. So, yeah, so everybody, you know, we got to get out there and vote. So, anyway, it's about a minute and a half after the program. I am going to watch, in between watching the Giants get destroyed by the Philadelphia Eagles, I will tune in every now and then and take notes of the of this debate, because I'm interested to see if the mute button is going to stop Donnie, if the mute button is going to stop Mr. Trump from talking over Joe Biden. So this is important for Donald Trump. This is important for Joe Biden. You know, as long as Joe Biden, just be quiet and let Trump destroy yourself. That's what you do. Just be quiet and let Trump destroy yourself. So thank you, everybody, for watching the program. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Thank you to the folks all across the United States of America who do tune in. And I got proof, who do tune in to the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. So we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Do go on to the Ron Kelly. If you're a new listener, go on to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page and do follow and like the program. Go on to the Ron Kelly Show YouTube channel and subscribe to the Ron Kelly Show. It doesn't cost anything, but you can subscribe to the Ron Kelly Show. I really, really, really appreciate it. Okay, 30 seconds left. Shout out to everybody. Thank you to my new listeners in Plainfield, New Jersey, and the surrounding area of Scotch Plains and Watchung and some of the other places down there, North Plainfield, some of the other areas who are listening, participating with the Ron Kelly Show. Our ground game is up and running, coming to a town near you. All right, it's about 10 seconds left, everybody. Remember, wash your hands, you know, stay away. Wear your mask, wash your hands, and remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice, and that we may not have it all together, but together, we certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done. Oh,